My favorite thing about Christmas, hands down, as cheesy as it feels to admit this, the music. I've been waiting for the last month, just waiting. You know, every once in a while, I'll flip through the dials just to see, are they playing them yet? Because I can't wait for the Christmas songs to start. Now, don't get me wrong. There are a lot of really bad versions to these Christmas carols and songs. But there's also some great ones. And I could actually give you a good playlist of alternative sounding Christmas carols that are cool. And I love them. I mean, Thanksgiving Day, you know, we're done eating and we're like, can we start now? Are people going to laugh? Can we do it? Let's do it! And we break out the box and the first thing we look for are the CDs of all of our Christmas music. I love the songs about Advent. I just do. Well, today we are going to read together a song about Advent. And this song is a very old one, 2,000 years old or so. And this song is affectionately called the Magnificat. This is Mary's song that she sings when the angel tells her that she's going to give birth to the Messiah. This is Luke 1, verses 46 to 55. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him. From generation to generation, he has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He's brought down rulers from their thrones. But he has lifted up the humble, and he's filled the hungry with good things. But he has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." This is Mary's song to God, her song about God, her song praising God, magnifying the name of God. I think what I like best about this song is it's just not what you would expect in that moment. I mean, Mary has a hard road ahead of her. We're going to talk more about that in a few weeks, but the news that this angel brings to Mary is only good news to the degree that Mary's looking past how hard this is going to be for her and looking to the good news of this message from the angel for all people. So in that sense, Mary's song is the perfect Christmas song. Her song sets the perfect tone for our celebration of Advent. It's not about me. It's about others. This may not be exactly what I want, but this is exactly what the poor and the hungry need. This may cramp my style a bit, and I can only guess how much that is true for an unwed teenage mom. This may cramp my style a lot, but this is about God's good news for everybody. Now, when Mary hears from the angel that she's going to give birth to the Messiah, right before she sings this song, she says, "Here I am, the Lord's humble servant. As you have said, let it be done to me." Could her response be any simpler or any more inspiring? It's simply deep. Mary celebrates with the song that we call the Magnificat. She magnifies God. She praises God for what he's going to do. She sings of God who comes so that the oppressed are set free, the broken are healed, the lost saved. She sings the Christmas song. For her, the beginning of the Christmas story, the very beginning, the angel's pronouncement, this first whisper of the angel points her towards God, and her first act is worship. Now, as somebody who absolutely loves Christmas, and I love all of the symbols and the traditions and the decorations, let me, as somebody who feels that way, let me admit, hopefully for all of us, that sometimes there's a danger in loving the symbols so much that we forget what it symbolizes. So today we're asking a simple question. How do we come back to a place of true worship, true celebration of Christ's birth? How do we join Mary in her song? How can we celebrate Christ's birth in a way that points us towards God and moves us to worship? The Advent conspiracy is the name of a movement that has started. This is the fourth year of it, and it's our third year, believe it or not, of doing this series at Advent. And the Advent conspiracy is basically an experience of trying to enter into the Christmas story. In other words, stepping into and discovering what was going on when God stepped into our world. And then asking, what does that look like? What are the implications of that for me and the way I live? How do I live the story? The Advent conspiracy is simply about stepping into that story and attempting to recapture the true beauty of Christmas as it should be. And it is beautiful. This is about remembering that if we are celebrating the birth of Christ, it really ought to be about Christ. The word conspiracy reminds us that this is our opportunity and maybe even our calling to be countercultural. Let's be honest, a lot of the things that happen around our celebrations of Christmas, they really have very little to do with the actual Christmas narrative, the story of God breaking in to earth as one of us. The funny thing is that often it's little kids who get this. This is pretty simple to them. The ones that have the hardest time with it are us. But the last few years, as we've been trying to live into this idea of the Advent conspiracy, kids have had some of the most profound ideas about how to do this. And you're going to hear some of those stories in the weeks to come. The Advent story, it is, without question, one of the theological high points of Scripture. So much of who we are as followers of Christ, so much of who we are called to be as the family of God, as the church, is wrapped up in this moment where Jesus leaves heaven, leaves his position of privilege, and becomes a servant, who becomes one of us, moves into our neighborhood, our world, for us, to save us, to recapture us. But the Christmas narrative, the story of Jesus' birth, all too often it just gets lost in the midst of all the chaos and the busyness and rushing to the stores. There's this whole other narrative going on in our lives, in our culture, that distracts everybody from the main story, the real story. I started to hear it the middle of November in the church office. I'm just going to rescue this candle for good. We're going to replace that later. It's still there. It'll just come back. Okay. I started to hear this the middle of November. I started to hear people in the office coming in and saying, oh, man, I've got so much to do. I can't believe the holidays are here already. You could just feel the stress level ticking up higher and just throbbing, getting heavier and heavier the closer we got. And I just can't help but feel how at odds that is, that experience, with the message of the angels. The angel says to Mary, don't be afraid. The angel says to the shepherds, it's okay. The angel choir sings, peace, peace, peace on earth, peace. That's our story. That's the Christmas story. Okay, where are we? Mary's song displays this beautiful picture of hope in God, hope in what God is going to do. Her song demonstrates a heart captured by God. Now let's start right there. The truth is that our hearts are formed by what we worship. Excitement, anticipation, hope, those emotions, they swell up around the object of our heart's desire. The things that our hearts truly love and thereby worship, those things drive us and shape us and form us. So if we spend our time and our energy on whatever matters most to us, that becomes, in a sense, a worship story. So let's ask this question. What do we worship during Advent? The right answer, of course, the Sunday school answer is Jesus. But if we measure it by the things that we give our time to and the things that occupy our hearts, the things we give our resources to, well, if you're anything like me, the answer's a little more complicated. You can feel it. You can feel, I'm missing something. See, here's the tension. During Christmas, there are these two stories of worship going on. One is the story of worshiping things that you can buy. It's a worship built on buying stuff that indicates somehow how much you love somebody. It's still a love story. It's just a different kind of love story. It represents a different God, the God of stuff that breaks and disappears and hides in the closet. There was a guy camped out at Best Buy up there Wednesday night. He spent Thanksgiving Day standing outside Best Buy, and he spent Thursday night just so he could be the first one in line to buy something. I don't know what. That is a worship story. Now, for some people, that's just a nightmare, and for others, that sounds like a lot of fun. And who doesn't want to save money, right? I mean, that's just being a good steward. But at some point, we got to be honest. It's a worship event. People give themselves to it with a passion and a dedication. It is a Christmas worship story. But is it the right story? Is that the right event to celebrate the birth of Christ, the God who comes to give us life and salvation and wholeness and healing and grace and mercy? If we're really paying attention to that first worship event, chances are we're going to miss the real worship story. So at the same time that there's this one story going on, we've also got this other story, and that is our story. It's the story of Jesus Christ coming into the world to bring salvation, to bring a new humanity to all people. It's a story that is not and cannot be told at the mall or online shopping or in catalogs. It's the church's story. It's our story. And I just can't help but wonder, are we telling it very well? The Advent conspiracy is an opportunity for us to tell that story by worshiping Jesus fully. It becomes an invitation for us to lay down the handfuls of gifts and to raise our hands in worship. So when you think about worshiping Christ fully, when we think about stepping into Mary's song of worship, maybe it would be helpful to think about it in terms of that very first worship service. You know the one I'm talking about? We'll come back to this too in a few weeks. That first service where there were these two groups that gathered at the manger to worship. Two groups of people. First, there were the shepherds. Now, the shepherds were just this despised group of people. They were the lowest rung of the social ladder. They couldn't give testimony in court because they were not trustworthy. They were the scum of the earth. Nobody liked them. Nobody talked to them. And yet these were the ones that the angels showed up to and said, guess what? A child is born today. And they went. These shepherds, everybody else misses it, the moment when Jesus is born. But the shepherds get it. They get to see it. And they just go. They go straight there. And they get in on it. Jesus chooses the lowest, the outcast, the despised, to announce his birth. The shepherds leave that worship experience, and they go praising and singing, and they go tell everybody what they've seen. They don't have much to offer. They don't have money. They don't have anything to give. So they give their voice, and they go tell a better story. Now, there's another group that comes. These are the wise men, people of great wealth and power and probably fame. The wise men come with all their resources, and they lay them down at the feet of Jesus. These extravagant gifts, given not just to each other or to themselves, but given to Jesus. And God accepts both of their worship. God receives both of their stories. Both of their stories tell the better story. The story of God breaking in to our world. The question becomes, what are we announcing with our worship? What are we worshiping, and what story does it tell? Every year it seems that there's some new scandal that breaks out in the news about whatever store is. This year they're not saying Merry Christmas. Official store policy. Don't want to offend anybody. We're not going to say Merry Christmas. We're going to say Happy Holidays. And there's always a group of people that get all upset and protest and won't shop there. Can I just say, I don't care. You know why? The story of Jesus Christ's birth is not Walmart's story to tell. So I don't care what the greeter says when I walk in. I'm not going to abdicate the telling of Jesus' story to the greeter. It's my story to tell. He can say whatever he wants, and I'll say it back. What story are we going to tell? What does worship mean? How do I worship fully? Does this mean more activity? Does this mean going to church more? Does it mean singing louder, which is okay? I got to say, I don't know if it was just the one guitar, but I could hear you singing, standing over here, and I wanted to cry. That told a beautiful story, hearing the people of God singing. So you can sing louder, but that's not what we're talking about. In fact, if you define worship as what happens here, you're cheapening it, you're simplifying it, and that totally misses the point. In fact, it's the opposite of what we're talking about. In the Magnificat, Mary demonstrates real worship. She chooses to tell a better story. She refuses to be defined by her setting. She won't be defined by the expectations of her culture on her. Instead, she chooses to be defined by Jesus, whom she'll carry. Worshiping fully is making the choice to be defined by Jesus, to let Jesus shape the way that we celebrate. Worshiping fully means surrendering my story and choosing to tell Jesus' story. It's aligning the way we celebrate with the reason we celebrate. So getting in on the right story sometimes is going to mean creating some space for God. Worshiping fully may not mean doing more. It may actually mean doing less. The simply deep promise of Advent from God is that if you'll do this, if you'll carve out space for me, I will dwell richly with you and within you. What would it look like for us to take the story of Christ's birth seriously? to lay down the chaos and the time we spend on the wrong things, and then to refocus that energy on telling a better story. What if we sit down at the table together with our families and dream about how to tell Jesus' story with our lives? What if we take our resources and our time and we ask, how can we worship? How can we live in a way that proclaims the real worship story? In Mary's song, worship is inescapably connected to how we live. She sings of a God who feeds the hungry, who lifts up the humble and the oppressed, who feeds and gives water to the thirsty and cares for the poor. Justice is worship. The way we live matters. And so I want to tell you about what we've already hinted about it a little bit. One way that we are going to try to tell a better story this year. We are going to try in the next 4 weeks to raise enough money to build a church that will also be a school in Lisanjala, Malawi. Did I say that right? Okay. Now, here's the thing. In the next few weeks, that theme of simply deep is going to come up again and again. We're going to talk about how the deepest truths of the Advent story are in many ways the simplest. And the more we clutter our worship, the harder it is to see the simple, deep truth. But in all of that, we're going to talk about next week maybe spending a little less so that we are then able to, the week after that, give a little more, but give differently, give better. And then last, we're going to talk about how the purpose of our worship and the purpose of our celebration of Advent is to serve others. And so we're going to challenge one another to celebrate a little differently with the hope of making a difference. That first Advent, that first moment when Jesus was born, changed everything. Changed the world. It still can. We're going to change the world this Christmas. So I'm going to ask you when we're done with worship to go back to the table back there that's set up with Malawi things. And here is this year how we're going to offer kind of a challenge for you to join us in this process. There are cards there. I've got a few actually up here with me that you can buy. A donation has been made in your honor to the Meet Malawi Project. We have back there, as a way of helping, a whole bunch of options. You want to buy a brick? This brick is a $5 donation. Gets you a brick. And then you get a card that you can mail to my mom, for example, and say, Mom, I got you a brick. There's a whole bunch of other options. A bag of cement, we're recommending a $25 donation. You can buy an 18-foot piece of sheet iron for $50. I'm hoping I'm getting all these right. You can buy a roof truss for $500. You could buy a completed 10-foot section of wall for $1,000. And the very first thing we're going to try to do, the very first thing, in order to be able to build this project, this church and the school, we're going to dig. It's called a borehole well, a deep water well. And that's going to cost about $5,000. But that'll instantly provide clean water for this village. And that'll be the water that they use in the construction process. They make their bricks right there on site. I mean, just their own hands. And that water will go into every one of those bricks. So we're going to challenge, in fact, one another to rethink the way that we honor Jesus at his birthday. We're going to challenge each other to give a gift fitting of the Savior born on Christmas Day. There'd be any number of ways you could do that. There's some kids who made crafts and sold those. Somebody had the suggestion of make a gift exchange box. Wrap a box, cut a slot in it, and periodically through the week, when you think you want to do something like go to a movie or dinner or get a latte, don't, and and put that in the box. On December 20th, we are going to take up the Advent Conspiracy offering. That is our offering back to God, our gift to Jesus on his birthday. Our goal, you ready for the big, hairy, audacious goal? We're going to try to raise $35,000 to be able to finish this project. So, I will pray and hope that you feel compelled by this challenge to tell a better story. And we'll keep talking about these beautiful parallels, this relationship between us and that church in Malawi, both of us in a school, worshiping God, sharing with one another. One day we're going to have them sitting here preaching for us. The body of Christ honoring Jesus at his birthday. Would you pray with me?